pastoring a church, it comes with responsibilities attached to it. Regardless of whether others do, the Lord called the preacher or his pastor to go and do that work regardless. And I'm thankful and grateful when the Lord give people a mind of support. I have to thank Jesus for that. You know, I could be living during the days of Ezekiel. The Lord told Ezekiel that in all of his preaching, wasn't nobody going to listen to him. Noah was the same. But I thank the Lord. The Lord blessed you all with the mind to want to hear what thus saith the Lord. And for that, I say you're blessed. I say you're blessed. Now, again, we're not going to try to hold you too long. This morning, I want to start talking a little bit about saving faith. Now, you all have a bulletin there that will kind of outline some of the thoughts that I have on this. But some of the scriptures that I'm going to be going over primarily today are not in your bulletin. So just kind of write a little note on the side for the scriptures that I'm going to give you relative to this, okay? All right, now our text scripture for this lesson is going to be coming from Acts chapter number 16, 30 through 34. Acts chapter number 16, 30 through 34. And it says, and bought them out. Now, this is making reference to when Paul and Silas were in prison. And they sang praises and prayed, and the Lord opened the prison doors for them. But in the midst of all of doing that, the keeper of the prison, or the guard, he was mindful to recognize this event that had happened, how nobody came and unlocked the doors, but the Lord broke the doors open. So the guard was mindful of this. And when he came to verse number 30, it says, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And that's in verse number 30. That's the prison guard asking Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" In verse number 31, it says, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." In verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. So we already know what Paul and Silas were sharing with the jailer. They were delivering unto him the plan of salvation. Now, it doesn't tell you specifically what the lesson was, but we know it had to be about the new birth. Because he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And then in verse number 33, we see that they gave him one of the keys. One of the keys is what? Baptism. The being born of water. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except or unless a man is born of both what? Water and spirit, he cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God." Now, after the jailer had got them all straight, clean them up with their stripes, you notice the next part says, and was baptized. And he and all of his, meaning not just him, but also his household. And then it says, and when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with not just by himself, but him and all of his house. So when you look at that question that the jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" we see salvation is a personal choice. Now, his house just chose to go along with him, but you see it started off with a personal choice, started off with a personal decision. And with that decision, when Paul and Silas heard his request, that's when they responded to him that you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. You can be saved. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 24. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 24. I'm going to come back to Mark, the book of Mark, later on, but for right now, I just want 9 and 24.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
Now, this is a position many will find themselves in, especially when it comes down to the Word of God. Because the Word changes how you think. The Word goes against your norm, your normal way of living. The Word of God goes against your normal way of living. Your normal way of living and also your normal way of thinking. Because if you notice the verse before that, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst do what? Believe. That's that the belief is the same word as the word faith. In the New Testament, believe and faith mean the same thing. They're interchangeable. In the Old Testament, that word faith was used by the word trust. They use the word trust a lot in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, they use the word faith or believe. But Jesus is saying here, if thou does what? If you canest do what? Believe. And that word, as I said, is not abandoning what it said in the Old Testament. It basically is saying if you can just trust, you can trust too. Don't put your trust in men. Jesus is telling you to trust Jesus. If you can just trust Jesus, all things are what? Possible. To him that does what? To him that does believe. To him that does believe. Now, the man that is in the next verse is really a representation of all of humanity. But it's a part of the human that tries to keep itself concealed. Tries to keep itself concealed, and it requires you to swallow your pride and really get to this point of thinking. You notice what he says? He says, Lord, I do believe. Lord, I do trust. Lord, I do trust you. I believe in you. I have faith in you. But do what? Help my what? Unbelief. In other words, I'm not 100% where I need to be at. He's not ashamed to admit that he's coming up short. But couldn't nobody tell him he was coming up short? He had to be able to acknowledge that for himself. All right. Now, it's important for us to understand this thing in faith. If we're talking about saving faith, the faith that will deliver us, we need to first understand when we're not 100% trusting in Jesus. But not just acknowledging that state, but knowing what to do to fix it. Knowing what to do to fix from being at an 80% to getting that other 20% that's necessary. You know, 80 plus 20 equals what? 100. Now, Jesus is looking for what? 100%. He's looking for you to believe and trust in him. But you got to know when you're really not at that 100, you need to know, what do I need to do to get to that 100? I can't keep going around talking about I have faith and I believe, because Jesus is telling you, if you believe, all things are possible. All you got to do is believe it. Now, if it ain't happening, that means ain't no failure in Jesus. The shortcoming is in me. But what do I need to do in order to fix that? I need to ask the Lord to help my unbelief, right? Help my unbelief. I don't want to stay in that 80% range. I want to get to that 100%, because that 100% is going to make the things that seem impossible possible, right? It's going to make the things that seem impossible possible. Now, let's go over to Numbers chapter number 14. Now, the book of Numbers in chapter number 14, this is where Jesus sends over, tells the children of Israel to go over in this particular area of the scriptures, to go over and spy out the promised land. And after they went over there and saw it, great fear came on them because of the things that they saw. In verse number, if you look at Numbers 14, 1 and 2, you really see the condition of the world that we're living in right now concerning the unseen enemy. The unseen enemy, these germs that are out there. Now, Israel saw their enemy, and they responded with fear, and we really know it don't take us to have to see Satan to be afraid of him. We don't have to see the devil to be afraid of him. All we need to know is that he's out there, right? Now, remember, Israel saw their enemy, and they responded in fear. Now, we don't see the enemy, right? You don't see corona. You don't see the virus, but they're telling you it's out there. And they're showing you images on the television, people that have been infected by it. And it has caused great fear to come on the people. So much so people don't even want to say hello to you. But fear that you're going to breathe on them. You know, and that's just the kind of the way people are behaving themselves. So let's see how we can tell that there's an enemy that we are afraid of. How do we respond when there's an enemy that we are afraid of? When we are defeated before we even get into the battle. Let's see how we respond. Chapter number 14 and verse number 1.
And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried.
Yes.
And the people wept that night.
Yes.
And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron.
Yes.
And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt.
Isn't that the truth? Now remember, this is the same group of people that were singing praises to Jesus for bringing them out of Egypt. Jesus brought them out with a mighty outstretched arm. And when they got on the other side of the Red Sea, the scripture says that they started singing the song of Moses. What song of Moses? The Lord have triumphed. The horse and his rider, the Lord have conquered in that sea and brought their bodies up on the shore as a memorial to us that if the Lord fight for us, he will destroy all of our enemies without us even having to lift up a finger. Remember, Israel did not ball up a fist to fight Egypt. Jesus did it all by himself. Therefore, that should have been embedded in their mind that regardless of what the enemy looks like, as long as I've got Jesus fighting for me, he's going to give me the victory. Now, let's see. Let's see what happened. Now, they're not praising. In chapter number 14 and verse number 1, you don't see no praise. You don't see no hallelujah. You don't hear no thank you, Jesus. You don't hear no the Lord is able. You don't hear nothing. I believe Jesus. They're not singing this song, I believe God. They're not singing this right now. According to the scripture, these folk cried all night long. They cried and wept all the night. And the children of Israel did what? They murmured.
And the whole congregation said unto them, would God have that we had died in the land of Egypt?
Yes.
Or would God we had died in this wilderness?
Yes.
And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return?
Here goes the manifestation of that 20%. Remember how I told you could be at an 80% mark in believing Jesus, but that 20 will mess you up because that 20 will begin to conquer and chisel away at that 80 to where that 80 becomes lower and lower and lower and lower until you begin to respond on an unbelief side, not on the belief side. Now, they were praising the Lord not long before this, but because they saw their enemy and how great their enemy was, that 20 got flipped. The 20 turned into the belief, and the 80 turned into the unbelief. And they started doing what? Murmuring. Started crying. Said, the Lord brought us out that we should be a prey, and we should die in this wilderness. Right? It would have been better. It would have been better for us to stay in bondage than for us to be freed by Jesus. Keep going. Verse number 4.
They said one to another, let us make a calf.
We don't need Jesus to give us no leader no more. This is why you got to be careful, saints. When that spirit of unbelief begins to manifest itself up in your life, you begin to devalue who Jesus has set before you. Who did he set before you? He gave you a pastor. I'm your spiritual leader. I'm the one that watches for your soul. But if you're not careful, that unbelief will tell you, you don't need Jesus. We're going to do this thing by ourselves. In other words, we're going to put the Lord's word down, and we're going to find leaders that give us what we want. Timothy talks about that. If you go over to 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter number 4. Really quick. Then tend to go to that book. Second Timothy chapter number 4, I believe it is. 4 and verse number 1.
4:1.
Yes.
I charge thee therefore before God,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who shall judge the quick and the dead.
This is what I'm trying to get you to ready for. You coming to church because Jesus is trying to get you ready for the judgment. Huh? Do y'all understand that? Somebody can try to tell you all day long, you don't need to come to church. You don't need Jesus. You don't need the word. You don't need to do all of that. But that means they don't understand life. This thing called life is all to prepare you for one moment. That one moment is when you stop breathing and you cross over into eternity. Because when you stop breathing and you cross over into eternity, that's when you're going to be judged. Scripture says, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? When it's time for death, it's time for judgment. What are you going to be judged by? Jesus said, all of your life, all of time, I have been preparing my throne for judgment. I'm going to judge the world in righteousness. You got to be declared righteous before you get to that judgment. Jesus knows that. Every devil knows that. Every devil understands there's only one thing you're going to be judged by, and that's whether or not you have been declared righteous. That's why you got to be justified. Justified is Jesus' process when he declares the sinner righteous based on the sinner's faith, his trust, his belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Huh?
Yes.
That devil don't care whether you get sick. That devil don't care how much money you make or don't make. He just don't want you to be ready for that judgment. He knows when you stop breathing, it's time for judgment. He can't fight you no more. He can't tempt you no more. There's no more attacks on you. When you stop breathing, the attacks stop, and you stand before your God naked, and you're going to be judged for what you've done in this body. According to the scripture, you're going to stand before Jesus by yourself. Not going to stand there with mother, father, sister, brother, children. You're not going to stand there with your bank account. You're not going to stand there on the deed to your home. None of it. You're going to stand before Jesus naked. That's what the writer said. You came into this world how? Naked. And you're going to leave out of here naked. You're not going to take nothing of your neighbor with you. You're going to stand before Jesus, your maker, the one that formed you from the ground. You're going to stand before him naked. And he wants to see, what did you do with this body? What did you do with the tool that I gave you, right? This body is going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to have to give an account for what you've done with the work of his hand. What did you do with this body? Did you choose to engage in a bunch of foolishness? Huh? Remember the rich man? He chose to pay attention to foolish stuff. He said, I'm going to build bonds. That's what he chose to do with his time. I'm going to build bonds and I'm going to eat sumptuously. And I'm going to dress real nice. That's all he was worried about. How he looked and what he could put in his belly. That's all he was concerned with. He gave no attention to his soul. But when he died, what did the Lord say? Lord said, I don't care about your bone. I don't care about your clothes. I'm coming to judge your soul. And Jesus called him a fool. Don't you realize your soul is required of you this day? That's the truth. So what is the church focused on? Church is focused on getting your soul right. Huh? I don't care what governments say. I don't care what these scientists say. I don't care what's going on in the air. The air could be real bad. But at the end of the day, you got to get your soul right. Huh? You better breathe enough of it to where you can call Jesus. Huh? You better say, Lord, let the clean the air long enough so that I can get somewhere and call on the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's the only saving name. That's the only name that can deliver you from your sin. Don't you realize that devil knows that? That's why when you're down there in prayer, you got to understand your mind is up under attack. That mind is up under attack by an unseen enemy. Huh? Trump calls it a germ. I don't call it a germ. I call it a disembodied spirit by the name of Satan and his host. He is attacking your mind, trying to bring your mind into captivity to the law of sin and death. He wants you to die in your sin, right? He don't want you to call on that saving name. He wants you to do everything you can do to prevent you from calling on that name, Jesus. Huh? He don't care how happy you get. He don't care how much you read. He don't care how much you come to church. But just don't get that saving name inside of you. Just don't let that name grab hold of your mind and deliver you from your sin. Huh? That's the truth, saints. That devil don't want to release his hold on your mind. He's got a good worker in you. You are a good sinner. And that devil don't want to let you go, right? He don't want to let you go. That's why you thank the Lord when the Lord's word breaks through, begins to show you yourself, begins to show you an alternative life. Huh? See, that homosexuality, they're pushing something called an alternative lifestyle. See, that's that devil trying to make you, he's trying to cloud up salvation. He's using words that should be designated to life. To get you deeper in sin. Huh? You came into this world shaping in iniquity. Huh? You're already in sin. So if you love the same sex as these worldly people would tell you, calling it an alternative life. It's not an alternative life. It's still a life of sin. However you look at it, whether you straight or crooked, you're still in your sin, right? And the only one that can deliver you from that sin is Jesus, right? That's the truth, saints. But see how they dress these words up, talking about an alternative lifestyle. You can't have an alternative lifestyle until you come to Jesus. Scripture done told you, if any man be in Christ, then and only then is he a new creature. Old things are what? See, that's the problem. You're trying to become new without getting in Jesus. You've got to realize your newness comes from Jesus. I got to get in Jesus in order to experience something new, right? That's the true sense. But the Lord told you, change your mind. Huh? Be ye transformed by the renewing of. How do I change my mind? I got to change the way I think. I got to get rid of the old thinking, the old ways, the old habits, the old lifestyle, old buddies. I got to get rid of all of that, and I got to learn Jesus, right? That's the truth. I got to learn what Jesus says. Huh? Got to learn to follow behind Jesus. Huh? Oh, come on, saints. If you're looking for the crowds to do it, they're not going to do it. Crowds done told you what they're going to do. They're going to murmur, and they're going to cry all night long. They're going to tell you it'd be better for us to stay in Egypt than for us to come out here to this wilderness. Huh? Did the Lord want us to die in bondage or die during the journey? Huh? Come on, saints. That's how the devil will try to get into your mind. The Lord done took the time to bring you up out of bondage, and that devil will put it in your mind that Jesus brought you out of bondage for you to die during this journey. No, he didn't. His intent is not for you to die. If he wanted you to die, he would have killed you in the bondage. But he brought you out of bondage for a purpose. Why? So that you can glorify him, right? You can praise him. You can praise him and you can thank him.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
How dare we get distracted?
Right.
How dare we get sidetracked because of the path of this world?
Right.
Lord done told you this whole world lies in judgment.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
This whole world lies in judgment,
yeah,
saints.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are not of this world.
Right.
Jesus have come to bring us out of this world.
Right.
He told us to be separate.
Yeah.
Huh? To touch not the unclean thing.
Huh?
If you do your part, Jesus do his part, right? You looking for the blessing, but trying to hold on to a little bit of the past. You got to let that stuff go. You got to say within your own mind. Can't nobody put that inside of you. You got to say within your own mind, this represents death, and I don't want to die. Come on, saints. You got to make it up in your mind. I don't want to die. Jesus didn't bring me out of sin for me to die in my sin. He said, I'm come that you might have life, right? Huh? And that more abundantly. Huh? Come on, read a little bit more than in Numbers.
Thank you, Jesus. It says, the quicken is dead, Jesus.
Well, oh yes. Yeah, that's when, see, one of these days, Jesus just going to show up. You all realize all these folk that have just been dropping dead. What can you say? Jesus just showed up. Huh? Something woke them up in the middle of the night. Huh? Whether they were in a hospital bed, on a respirator, in their own bed, something knocked on their door. And I'm not talking about their address. I'm talking about the door of their soul. See, your soul is in a house. Huh? A house called flesh. And one day the one that made that house called flesh is going to knock on the door, and you got to open it up. I don't care what alarm system you have on it. I don't care what security system you have. He's got an inevitable key. Huh? When he sticks that key in the door, it's going to open, right? And when he opens it up, he's going to call you out, right? Gonna call you out of your slumbering and sleep state. Huh? Said today is the day of salvation. Time to wake up, right? Huh? Wake up and do what, Jesus? And give an account for the things you've done in this body, whether it's good or bad, right? Huh? So the only thing you can do is say, Lord, let my soul be right. Huh? That should be your prayer. This is what I was trying to get across to you on Friday night. The thing that should stay at the forefront of your mind is, Jesus, let my soul be right. It should trouble your mind when your soul is not right. You should turn all night long. Why? Because you realize the next breath could be my last. And if my soul is not right, I'm going to lift up my eyes in hell, right? There's no time to be wasted. There's no time to slow down, right? Why? Because my soul is at stake, right? Huh? My soul is at stake. And my soul is too important. Huh? My soul is too important. I love my soul that much. Huh? I ain't gonna let the devil. No. Don't let the devil take this. Huh? I ain't gonna let the devil take this because it don't belong to him. Huh? Lord gave it to me. He put that charge in the macro. Huh? Say, what you gonna do with it? I thank the Lord the jailer had a mind that we should have. What did the jailer say? What must I do to be saved, right? And now Paul and them, Peter and them didn't make it difficult. Paul and them didn't make it difficult. He just simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And you can be saved.
Right.
Whatever the Lord say in his word, trust it.
Right.
Y'all know what that word trust means. Word trust means to rely on it.
Right.
Depend on it. Don't be shaky.
Right.
And when you find your feet get shaky, that's when you need to pray like that man prayed.
Right.
Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Huh? I feel myself shaking. I feel my foot is a little unsure. It's not secure. It's not built on a rock like it needs to be built. Huh? And I'm trying to tell you, this ain't no day to be shaking your faith. You need to pray and cry to the Lord. Lord, please help my faith. Huh? Ain't no time to be no shaky faith. That devil ain't shaking when he attack you. He attacking you real hard. He's hitting you left and right. He ain't showing you no mercy. Whatever the Lord say, do, he goes right on and does it. If he means to kill, steal, and destroy you, right?
Right.
If he ain't playing you, you need to stop playing. Huh? That's true. Devil done showed you his cards. He done showed you his cards. He showed you everything he's about. He's about death. He's about division. He's about hatred. Huh? He's about frustration. He's about depression and despair. That's not what Jesus is about. You don't get none of that when you call on the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, he gives your mind peace. Huh? Come on, that devil's trying to steal your peace.
Yes, Jesus.
Trying to steal your peace, saints. Huh? Trying to steal your peace. But you got to know your peace is in Jesus. I don't care whether other people believe it. You believe it. My peace is in Jesus. And I'm not going to let you, I don't care who you are, I don't care how close you think you are to me, but you're not going to steal my peace. My peace is in Jesus. Huh? Only who can do that? Only you can say that. Only you can say that. Huh? These folk in Numbers chapter number 14 look like they done made up their mind. Chapter number, verse number 4 said, they said, let us make us a captain. Huh? Let us make us a captain and let us go back to Egypt. Huh? Let us go back into bondage. Huh? Come on, saints. I've seen saints do that. Said, I don't want you to be my pastor no more, Elder Scudder. Huh? I ain't said out of my mouth, but you showed me you ain't want me to be your pastor. Huh? By your behaviors. Your behaviors done spoke so loud I don't hear a word to come out your mouth. What did you say? You didn't want me to pastor you no more. But the Lord said, don't think that they have rejected you because you didn't bring them out. Huh? I didn't bring you out. Huh? I wasn't beside your bed when you cried. Huh? I wasn't there when you shed all them crocodile tears asking for help. But it was Jesus. Jesus loved you so much. He brought you down to a street called straight. Taught you to listen to somebody you never met before. And they will tell you what you must do. Jesus knocked the scales off of your eyes. Jesus showed you the light, right? Now it's up to you to realize it ain't Elder Scudder I'm following. I'm following Jesus. Come on, that's the truth, saints. Jesus the one woke you up this morning. Jesus the one gave you the activities of your lips. Jesus put the breath inside of your body. Jesus put the praise inside of you. Now it's up to you to say, I'm going to use it to the glory of Jesus. Shame on you. You say you sitting around, you talking about I'm trying to help you out, trying to help Elder Scudder. You ain't helping me out, do nothing. Because I didn't put nothing inside of you. The Lord gave you all that you got. You owe Jesus. You don't owe me. You owe Jesus. You owe a debt to him you cannot pay. He the one suffered, bled, and died for you. I wasn't on no cross. Come on, I wasn't on no cross. I wasn't there. That's right, but you owe Jesus. And you can get it fixed in your mind every time. When I feel like giving up, I ain't giving up on Elder Scudder. I ain't giving up on Philadelphia. I'm giving up on Jesus. Because he's the one that shed his blood for me, right? That's true, saints. That's true. Find you a captain. And you can tell when you can find them old captains. See, Elder Scudder, how do I know I got a captain in my life? Because that captain going to be telling you to do something Jesus told you not to do. Them old captains be trying to bring you back into bondage. Huh? Look at the captain of this day. What is the captain of this day trying to tell you? Stay home. Huh? Stay home. Huh? Stay home. It's too bad out there. Bad hell. It looked like a beautiful day out there to me. It's too bad out there. They don't know what people got. I know what they have. They in their sin. They was born in sin. Jesus done said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I know what you got already, right? And the only one that can deliver you from sin is Jesus. Scripture done told you she should bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall do what saved. Huh? That's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear in my mind. Jesus will save. Huh? When that devil try to get up in your mind to make you think that it is impossible for you to be delivered from your sin, know what the scripture says. Jesus will save. Huh? Come on, you might got children that look like they cannot be saved, but you got to keep rehearsing this word in your mind. Jesus will save. Meaning he will deliver. I might not be a
I might not be able to understand it, but he will say. Why? Because he said so, right?
Right.
He done promised. He done promised. And he cannot go back on his word. Huh? Lord can't go back on his word. Whatever he said, it's going to happen.
Right.
Huh? He said, let there be light. And what do we see?
Light.
Huh? Huh? Jesus said it. He said, if he didn't say it, there would be no light. You realize we would be walking in darkness. I don't care how many plugs we put together, it would still be dark. Why? Because Jesus said no light. Huh? But when he said, let there be light, then there was light, right?
Right.
Gave us the ability to put all these electrical things together.
Yes.
Huh? And it turns that which was dark into light.
Right.
Huh? Both on the inside and on the outside.
Right.
All because Jesus has spoken it.
Right.
Huh? Do y'all realize light could not come into existence until he said, let there be light?
Right.
Huh? Do y'all realize this whole world would be dark?
Yes.
Unless Jesus said, let there be light. He created light.
Yes.
Huh? He defined what light is.
Right.
Huh? I thank him.
Yes.
I thank the Lord because he gave me an opportunity to see.
Right.
When he said, let there be light, right?
Right.
Yes. Now that devil want to drag you back into darkness.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. He's trying to make you think there's no other light to live.
Yes.
But a dark life.
Right.
A dark and a gloomy life.
Right.
A life of sadness and depression. Oh! Come on, saints, this is the truth. Read a little bit more of that in Numbers.
And they said here, they said, one should not let us make us a calf, let us return it to Egypt.
Yeah.
Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children.
Yes.
And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land.
Uh-huh. That lets you know a saint will give you a different outlook on life. These sinners are depressed people.
Yeah.
I mean, they just give you a bunch of sad news.
Yeah.
There ain't no hope in them. Ain't no hope in them. And you keep listening to them, ain't no hope going to be inside of you. But you got to know when to cut it off. When to know when to shut it on down. Let them know I done heard your story enough.
Right.
I done heard your report enough.
Right.
But who's going to believe the report of the Lord?
Right.
I believe his report.
Right.
What does his report say? I'm free.
Right.
Huh? His report says he died that I might be free.
Right.
He took the stripes.
Right.
Huh? He took all the whips.
Yes.
That he might deliver me from sin sickness.
Right.
Huh? He went down into hell.
Yes.
And opened up a door.
Right.
For me to come on up out of my pit. Huh? Now whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of Jesus. Jesus put me out of a horrible pit. Set my feet up on a solid rock. Establish my going out and my coming in,
right?
Put himself up on a hill called Calvary. Told me to look up and live. Jesus said that. I don't care how much you've been bitten by sin. I don't care how much sin's poison is going through your veins.
Right.
All you've got to do is look up at Jesus.
Right.
If you look up at Jesus, he will heal you, right?
Right?
Ain't nobody but the devil trying to keep you from lifting up Jesus.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Jesus told you if I be lifted up, I'll draw you, right? Huh?
Yes,
come on, read a little bit more.
And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land.
It ain't no bad land.
No.
It's a good land.
Right.
Huh? That's why, saints, when the Lord gave you something, don't let the devil put it in your mind that it's bad.
Uh-huh.
The Lord gave it to you.
Right.
I don't care what people may say about it. The Lord gave it to you.
Right.
And you need to say, it's good.
Right.
It's good enough for me. It's good enough for Jesus.
Right.
Jesus done gave me everything I got.
Right.
Huh? Yes. Come on, saints.
Yes.
Folk might not like your style of dress. They might not like the way you assemble your hair. But you got to say, Jesus gave me this.
Yes.
Huh? They've been looking down on holiness for years.
Yes.
They've been telling us we ain't got nothing. Because
right.
We want to live a clean and a simple life.
Right.
Huh? But you got to realize the Lord gave you this.
Yes.
And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough for you, right?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
What does it say? It's exceeding good.
Yes.
It's an exceeding good land, right?
If the Lord delight in us,
All right, that's the condition.
Yes.
We just need to make Jesus happy.
Right.
Huh? You need to stop making people happy,
right.
And you need to start making Jesus happy.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
What does the Lord get happy at? He gets happy when he sees people doing what he say do.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You talking about making the Lord smile?
Right.
Lord smile at you when he see you do what he say do.
Right.
Huh? Let's look at today. Let's just work on today.
Yes.
What did the Lord tell you to do today?
Yes.
He said, get up. And what did you do? You got up. Huh? Lord said, put your clothes on. You put your clothes on. Where are we going, Jesus? To the mall? To the park? To the grocery store? To this one's house? No. Jesus said, it's time to come to the house of the Lord. And where did you find your feet? I found my feet crossing through the door, coming into the Lord's house. I didn't come to sit in no corner. I didn't come to sit on no back pew. But I came to praise the Lord. When I heard the song of praise go forward, I used what the Lord gave me. He gave me air in my lungs. He gave me a voice. He gave me my hands. He gave me my feet. I said, Jesus, I'm going to use my tools to glorify you, right? It look like the Lord get real happy. Because you could be doing so many other different things. But look what you did today. And you don't think the Lord looking at you saying, that's it. Keep it up, right? Keep going, right? Keep going. Keep going. In other words, don't you slow down. Nobody but the devil trying to make you slow down. Nobody but the devil trying to make you distracted. He don't want you to get the Lord what he gave you.
That's right.
What did he give you? He gave you life.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He gave you the activities of your limbs.
Yes.
In him we do what? Live.
Yes.
We move,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now the Lord said, what you going to do with what I gave you?
Yes. Yes.
Some folks sitting up at home right now.
Yes.
On the sofa. On the bed.
Yes.
Huh? Singing, woe is me.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Something like that song coming up the rough side of the mouth. No. We ain't got to come up no rough side of no mountain. Lord said, speak to that mountain and tell that mountain, move. Tell that mountain, move.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. And them devils start telling you what you can't do because of the conditions that are in this land. That look like a mountain to me. Look like you need to speak to that mountain and say, mountain, move. Move right on out of the way. Huh? Cause why you needed to move? Because I'm trying to serve you, Lord. Lord, I need my soul to be saved when you come, right?
Right.
And you ain't saved me at home.
Right.
You saved me in your house, Jesus.
Yes.
Huh? I got the Holy Ghost in the house of the Lord.
Right.
I didn't get the Holy Ghost on my bedside.
No.
Huh? Now you might have got saved on your bedside. But I got the Holy Ghost around the saints.
Right.
I got the Holy Ghost around those that were saved and sanctified.
Right.
Somebody had a mind to tell me to lift up my hand.
Yes.
When my unbelief was settling in. When my unbelief tried to dominate my mind. Tried to bring my mind into captivity.
Right.
That I could not be saved.
Right.
That unbelief was trying to cloud my vision.
Right.
But someone that saw the light encouraged me.
Right.
They said, lift up your hands.
Right.
Lift up my hands and do what? Call on Jesus. Open up your mouth and say, Jesus. Say it like you want to say it, right? I didn't get that on my bed, sir. But I got it in the house of the Lord. Huh? Do you understand why the devil is trying to keep you out of here? Because he don't want you to get your soul saved, right?
Right.
Somebody going to look beyond your unbelief and say, if you just trust Jesus, huh? If you just trust Jesus, all things. Elder Scott, you don't know how bad I am. All things are possible. If you just do what? Just believe. Believe in what? The power of the name of Jesus. Come on over to Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 17. Really quick. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 17. We are not a group. group of people that are a group of unbelievers. We are people that believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And the scripture done said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. I don't care what devil got a hold of your mind, but if you just stay around the faith and just believe in Jesus, every time you hear that name, just get in with the flow. Say, I don't know what the name gonna do for me. Just get in with the flow. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When I say that name, Jesus, work something inside of me. When I say that name, Jesus, make something release itself. What do you want to let go? I want that devil that got a control of my mind to loose his grip, to loose his effect. Why? Because I believe in the name, right?
Lord said, in my name, that devil going to come out of you. So you don't need to be possessed no more. When you come around Jesus people, you don't need to be possessed. Say, Elder Scott, I came to church possessed with the devil. Just stay here long enough. When you go home, you won't leave the way you came. Because we're going to believe Jesus enough for that devil that's in you to come out of you. Come on, saints. You don't need a whole lot of folk to believe. Just two. Lord said, where there's two gathered together in my name, there my way in the midst. All I need is two people to believe in the power of Jesus' name. And if we believe in that name, somebody gonna be free. Somebody gonna be free. Free from bondage. I'm talking about freedom from Satan. I don't want you to speak Satan's language no more. I'm praying that the Lord will make that devil get out your tongue. Take every cuss word out your mouth. Take every root of bitterness out of your... Come on! All I need is two. All I need is two to believe it. If two can believe with me, the devil will come on out. The devil will release his tongue. He'll weaken the devil's grip from upon your mind, right?
Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus.
I know the Lord will do it. I know the Lord will do it. You ain't gonna tell me. I just see we're not looking at the clouds of witnesses. The Lord laid out before us. You all realize, and I know you all don't understand. Earlier part of this week, this brother was in a condition where they told him he could not come to church. Y'all understand that? People that he lived with told him he could not come to church. No more. Tuesday, he came in here crying out to the Lord. Crying out to the Lord. And I kept saying, I said, Lord, hear his cry, Jesus. And then I'm a believer. The Lord hears the cries of those that got a right heart. All you got to do is have your heart be right. Now, I ain't talking about you 100%. But just be sincere that when you really mean what you're crying out to the Lord for. And all you got to do is stand still and see the Lord work. He said, I can't come Wednesday. I said, brother, just get up and get on out the house. Don't ask no questions, don't argue, don't fuss. And what happened Wednesday? He was sitting right in here. Still under attack. Still burning down. You heard him crying. You saw his agony. He was still burning down, but he was here. You surely, you was going out of here Wednesday, but you definitely not going out of here Friday. And I'm going to go get me some help. Come on, people want to be on the phone with you. Telling you, you better not go out this house on Friday. Where was he at on Friday? Right in here praising Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus. You ain't going out of here no more. Look at what he said. He shut their mouths up. The Lord done got inside their mouth and shut it up. Only thing they said, have a nice time. And you don't see Jesus working.
Right.
You better get the Lord the credit when you see him.
but a God of mercy can shut the enemy up. Take away all of his breath. Lord, I told you, he'll set a table before your enemy. He prepares a table before my enemy,
right?
He makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. Ain't that what Jesus said? Meaning he take the fight out of them. He take that argument right on out of them. He calm them right on down. Lord, I told you, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Not some knee, every knee shall bow, right? Every tongue. That's what I say. You keep doing your part. What is my part? Keep lifting up the name Jesus. Don't let the devil take that out of you. You lift up the name no matter what. And the attacks are not going to get easier. They come, they're going to get worse. Y'all think this corona is something. You ain't seen it yet. The attack is coming. Lord is showing us. He's showing you something, saints. He said he's showing you the changes of the season. All you got to do is look and tell the time is drawn down. He's bringing the whole wide world. Y'all understand this? The whole wide world. He's getting that whole attention, right? But this ain't it. People say, oh, Lord, tribulation must be upon us. No, because the saints are still here. It's some souls that still need to be saved. Somebody's still crying out for deliverance. And you need to be gathering with the saints. You crying out for deliverance on the altar, you need to be gathering with the saints. Lord, give me a little bit more time to pray, Lord. Hold back your wrath a little while longer, Jesus. Got unsaved loved ones. How do you love your children? Amen. I got unsaved loved ones. If Jesus should come, they're going to be lost, right? I don't want them to be lost, Jesus. I don't want them to be lost. Even though they don't know that they need to be saved. They don't realize how serious this thing is. But you better thank the Lord. The righteous are praying. The righteous are praying. Oh yeah, that's what's holding back the hand of the enemy. You don't think the devil would have loved for us to catch that virus? But something is holding back the hand of the enemy. Somebody was about to touch you. That Jesus said, no, don't you touch him. Why did you say not to touch him? Because they infected. See, the Lord sees stuff that we don't see. You be about to touch a doorknob. But the Lord said, don't touch it. I'm going to open up the door for you. The Lord sees something you don't see, right? You be going on the grocery shelf. Going to touch something on the grocery shelf. Lord, hold you back. Somebody say, no, ain't got no more of that. What does the Lord see? He sees something out there. He's protecting me from seen and unseen danger, right? Nobody can do that but Jesus, right? Lord, let you go outside. Somebody out there coughing. That thing is all in the air. And when Jesus let you stop breathing, when you just I couldn't breathe for a second. So you know what's wrong with you? The Lord saw something you didn't see. Come on, he said, when I see the death angel, I will allow the blood to do what cover you. Do y'all understand that, saints? Don't you underestimate the blood. The blood got the power, saints. That devil don't want you to realize where you are. Where am I? Romans chapter number 8:1, I told you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ. Where are you? I'm in Jesus. And I'm not walking after the flesh, right? But I'm walking after the Lord's Spirit. The Lord doesn't promise me he will not condemn me. That what condemnation means, it brings to be brought up under sin judgment. And the sad thing is, these people over here in Numbers, they brought themselves under sin's judgment. All because of their unbelief. Instead of asking the Lord to help my unbelief, they said, it's okay for us to be unbelievers. They owned it. They were proud to be unbelievers. How you know they were proud of the scudder? They said, let us make ourselves captains. And let us go back into bondage, right? Nobody but unbelief will make you talk so foolishly about a God that got the power to control your breath. Huh? Look at, look, read, where do we stop at? Verse number 8. Somebody read 8. That's all we got to worry about doing, saints. Just make the Lord happy. Huh? Don't worry about making people happy. Because I done told you all last Sunday, you're not going to be satisfied. Huh? I don't have the power to satisfy Sister Scudder. And she don't have the power to satisfy me. Huh? Huh? Those that love the flesh will never be satisfied with the flesh. Silver and gold, that's it. You ain't going to be satisfied with it. Huh? Why? That lets you know there's no satisfaction in that flesh. But the only one that can get down in the core of who you are, as we say, get down to the nitty-gritty, is Jesus himself. He can get all down inside your soul. He helps you to be content in whatever state you're in. Nobody can do that but Jesus, saints. Read a little bit more.
That the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this place.
Yes, it floweth. With milk. In other words, a land that is nourishing.
Yeah.
And then y'all say nourishing our spiritual man.
Yeah.
In other words, the Lord will put you in a place where you can be nourished.
Wow.
In other words, where you can be fed and grow and develop. Huh? And be strong as a saint, right? Don't you want to be a strong saint?
Yes.
I want to be strong in the faith.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Somebody come around me talking about, oh, this is going on. I want to be able to look at him in the face and say, Jesus will.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Jesus can and Jesus will.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go, talking about that old Jesus. Right. All I can tell you is what I know.
Right.
Jesus can and he will, right?
Yes.
You take it for what you will.
Yes.
Right? Read a little bit more.
And it says, only rebel not.
That's their problem. That's what unbelief. Unbelief is manifested by rebellion. Mm-hmm. Everybody understand that? Unbelief is manifested by rebellion.
Right.
How can you tell when a person is overcome in unbelief? Because they develop a rebellious attitude. Huh? Now think about this. When you had children, you told the children, don't touch that, don't touch that, it's hot, it's going to burn you. Now if they believed you, they wouldn't touch it. Huh? But because they do what? They are unbelief. Then they're now, how do you know they're filled with unbelief? Because of their rebellious response. They touch it anyway while looking at you. They'll look at you in your face and you say, don't touch it, and they say, I don't believe you. I'm overcome with rebellion. I'm going to do it because I want to do it, and I don't believe what you say. And when they touch it, what it have? Oh, burn. You got burned. Why did you get burned? Because you were an unbeliever, right?
Right.
Rebellion. So when you see that rebellious spirit pop up in people, you know, you be telling them, look, you really need to leave that person alone because they don't mean you no good. And they say, well, I'm going to do it. And who you think you are? I'm grown. I mess with whoever I want to mess with. You don't control me. I do what I want to do. They're letting you know they don't believe nothing you're saying. And therefore, they're being what? Rebellious. Huh? You know, you see it. They going to do it anyway. You say the one that you say, well, so don't mess with that fella. That fella's no good for you. You should leave her alone. She's trouble. Don't bother with her. And they go around the corner and they go bother right with him anyway. They go holler. They go walk down the street with him. Say, didn't your mother tell you not to bother them? They ain't gonna tell me what to do. I make up my own mind. Rebellion.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't believe. Now when they get in trouble. Trouble is right there. Trouble, help. That's what the rebellion does. It gets you into a bunch of trouble, right? Read a little bit more. I'm going to let y'all go. My time.
It says, only rebel ye not against the Lord.
Yes.
Fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us.
Uh-huh.
Their defense is departed from
us. Uh-huh.
And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. For all the congregation bade stones.
These folk were going to kill them. They picked up stones to throw rocks at people that were trying to tell them the truth. Keep going a little bit more.
And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation. before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me?
Yes.
And how long will it be ere that they believe me?
And in other words, how long are they going to see the Lord do all this wonderful stuff and still struggle with belief? Huh? That same thing the Lord say to us. How many things does the Lord have to show you that he's got the power to deliver you out of? And yet you still go behaving yourself like you do not believe in Jesus. You need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. You say, oh, didn't the Lord deliver you out of? Yeah, the Lord delivered me. He spared my life. He did this for me. He made a way for me. But why are you struggling to believe him? I ain't struggling to believe Jesus. Yes, you are. If you believed him, you'd do what he tell you to do. Right? Does that make sense? If you believe him, you'll do what he tell you to do. With every breath in your body, you'll determine in your mind that if Jesus said it, this is the kind of life that I need to live. No matter what. No matter who agree with me or who disagree with me. Huh? That's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. That's what the Lord done told you. Unless a man is willing to forsake mother, father, sister, brother, houses, land, and even his own self. Lord said, you're not fit to be his disciple. You want to be a follower of Jesus? You got to believe the Lord all the way. Huh? Even when it seems like it's not going to work out, you still got to do what Jesus, I trust you. Huh? That's when you got to lean like that man and say, Lord, I believe, meaning I see what you're saying in your word. I just can't see it. Help my unbelief. Everybody understand? Y'all should have that scripture highlighted in your book. What did I say that was? What was that? Mark something. Mark 9:24. Y'all should have that highlighted in your Bible. That's a prayer you need to adopt into your prayer life. Lord Jesus, I believe. Help thou now my unbelief. Huh? Unbelief. You know the devil, that's what he do sometimes. He give you all those reports because it's trying to fuel unbelief. Reject it, reject it, reject it. Those are reports because you know what you're trying to get done. And they keep telling you no, no, no. That's a report. But you got to say within yourself, Lord, I believe what you said in your word. Help now my what?
Unbelief.
Because if you're not careful, what would that unbelief do? It's going to chisel away at your belief. It's going to make that belief weaker and weaker and weaker. Unbelief is like a poison. And when you are easily, readily, submissively doing the Lord's word, now you find it hard. Huh? Now you find it a struggle. Huh? Saints say fast and pray. You be like, oh, again? You got to fast? For you know you be fasting an hour. Talking about I fasted today. You ain't fast no day.
Right.
You get your fast? I went a whole hour.
Jesus.
Well, you used to fast the whole day. What happened? The Lord know I'm trying. You ain't trying. You ain't trying. You are an unbeliever. And you won't do what? You won't check yourself. You won't call yourself out. Look, you see on the inside of your bulletin, do you like that fella on the right side at the top of your bulletin? Every time the Lord's word go forward, that's how you look. Bored. Huh? You see how that fella look on the top? He looks disinterested. He say, I'll be glad when this is over.
Jesus.
But you need to be like that fella down the bottom. See yourself for who you are.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And ask the Lord to fix you.
Right.
Lord, if anything is out of place, Lord, help me.
Right.
Huh? Fix it, Lord Jesus. If that means I got to let it go, give me the mind to let it go.
Yeah.
Huh? Why? Because at the end of the day, it ain't worth your soul. That very thing that you try to hold on to, it's going to be the thing to keep you from going back with Jesus. You got to let that stuff go. Lord done told you, if any man is going to be my disciple, he must first pick up his own cross. He got to bear that cross by himself and deny himself and then do what? Follow after me. We all got our own crosses that we must bear, saints. Huh? And I cannot bear your cross for you. Huh? I don't care. I don't care what's going on in your house. People come, so this, you don't understand what's going on, this going on. I don't care what's going on in your house. Why? Because it ain't my house. Ain't nothing I can do about it. You got to bear your own cross. Huh? You got to bear your own burden, right? That's true, saints. You got to bear your own burden. Just like you can't bear mine. I got to deal with it myself. No, can't nobody deal with my wife but me. Huh? And she can get on my nerves all day long. At the end of the day, she's still mine. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Right? I was thinking last night on the side of the bed, I was laughing. I said, if I push her out the bed. Yeah, I said, I was thinking, I said, well, Lord, if I push her out the bed, push her on out. Just about, you know, just looked over and I said, I'll push her out the bed. I said, man, you push her out. You ain't got nothing to do with it, but her turn around hitting you back. And what you going to do? It's the truth. What you going to do? Because she going to hit me. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. it's the reality. Hey, ain't nothing I can do about it. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do about it. You just got to deal with it. Right. Just got to deal with it. Dog go use the bathroom on something that you know you said, don't you get on that. And he go up there anyway, use the bathroom. Who got to deal with it? You got to just deal with it. You say all day long, you going to kill him? You going to kill a dog? You a cruel person, you going to kill a dog? Well, you just deal with it. Go clean it up. Dog, a dog come right back at you, licking your lung. He said, didn't you just do that? Yeah, I'm still a dog. You just deal with it, right? In other words, you got to bear what? Your own burden. You can't pass that off on nobody else, saints. Take up your own cross. Do what? Deny yourself. And do what? Follow after the Lord Jesus. All right? I had so much more I could have gave you all this morning, but my time is done. Write these scriptures down so you can have them. This will be some good study scriptures. Psalm chapter number 78. Go with that Numbers chapter number 14. Psalms chapter number 78. That whole chapter. Because the Lord going to go down and give a report on the nation of Israel concerning what happened to them when he brought them out of bondage. And he talks about the effects of unbelief. The effects of unbelief. And you look at the Lord's report. They had no reason not to believe in Jesus. But when you start entertaining unbelief, unbelief will give you 1,000 excuses. You looking for them? They out there. Huh? Yeah, you looking for them? They out there. You say, oh, God, I can't go. Why? My toe hurt. Toe get better, my big finger hurt. My thumb hurt. I mean, you're looking for reasons. They out there. You're looking for reasons. They out there. But at the end of the day, it ain't got nothing to do with your soul. Huh? It ain't got nothing to do with your soul, saints. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus, saints.